Paul chapter of Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Last week we looked where the Apostle says, whatsoever things are true. Lord bless us for just a few moments this morning. I'd like to look at the next statement, whatsoever things are honest. When Paul says here, whatsoever things are honest, it seems like a redundancy that he would say whatever is true and whatever is honest. Is it honesty the truth? Partially yes, but it means more than just telling the truth. The Apostle Paul is not just repeating himself here, but the word honesty or being honest has a deeper meaning than what we generally use it for as a definition today. Today we just would define being honest as telling the truth. The word honest in the Bible means to have honor, to be honorable. And so when the Apostle Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, he's not repeating himself. He's saying, first of all, we're to let our minds meditate on the truth, and then we're to let our minds meditate on these things that are honorable. We can consider a lot of things in the Word of God and also in experience that we would consider honorable things, honorable people. First of all, we see in Psalm 26, David said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. So David really experienced love the house of God. He loved to think about the house of God, and he loved to go to the house of God. And one of the reasons he defines for us here in the 26th Psalm is because it is where God's honor dwelt. I certainly don't want to dwell where God dwells. And I want to dwell where his honor is. I want to see the honor of God come to the house of God. This is where we want to see his honor most likely displayed. And that doesn't mean that God cannot show himself in other locations. Certainly he can. But it's in the house of God that we're going to see the Lord revealed. The Apostle Paul really continued and he said, these things I'm writing to you, that if I carry, that thou knowest how to behave thyself in the house of God, he said, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So here the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, you are to maintain the truth because the house of God is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's in the house of God that the truth is maintained. It's in the house of God where the truth of God is upheld. And so it's here where God's truth is that then we're going to see his honor. If there's a house that has his name, but the truth is not there, you think God is going to be pleased to dwell where his truth is absent? I don't think that he would be. I mean, God is going to dwell in a house of truth, a house that actually displays that which is true about God, and true about what God has done, true about what God is doing, and true about what he shall do in the future. We find that Solomon writes a lot about honor as he writes to his son in the book of Proverbs. He says in Proverbs chapter 15, he says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Again, he says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Wisdom and the fear of the Lord are linked together many times in the book of Proverbs. We find that Solomon encouraged his son to fear the Lord and also to get wisdom. Encouraged him over and over to find wisdom, obtain it, get it. Take hold of it. He says, wisdom, she cried in the streets. He says, you'll find her, just go out into the streets, Each other.
mercy and truth typically could not meet together. What I mean by that is, for God to uphold His word, and He's a holy God to cannot stand sin, how in the world can He be merciful? And yet, how can righteousness, which means holiness and peace, that means peace to sinners, kiss each other? How can that at all be aligned together? He says, mercy and truth meet each other, righteousness and peace have touched one another. He says, truth, I shall spring forth out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. So it magnifies this in the description of what Jesus did at Calvary. That in the person of Jesus Christ, mercy and truth met together. In His person, there was mercy shown, because the truth of God took our sins upon Him and paid them with the uttermost. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. God's holiness was maintained, and yet there was peace between God and sinners for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy shall us who made our church the spring of the earth. What's that talking about? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. I mean, God the Father would see it all and be pleased with it. So because God, in the person of Jesus Christ, allowed mercy and truth to meet each other, He tells us here in Proverbs 21, verse 21, He that calleth after righteousness and mercy, He finds life. He finds righteousness. So we can be righteous and still show mercy. And in doing so, he says, we find life. What does he mean by finding out? We find the joy of life. He says, we'll find righteousness, and we'll also find honor. In chapter 22, he says, by humility and fear, Lord, are riches and honor and life. And there is the humility and fear and righteousness are over and over repeated by Solomon to his son here in the book of Proverbs regarding that which is honest. We turn to the New Testament. The New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13. He says, pray for us. Verse 18. He says, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things willing to live honestly. Now, Paul is not saying, I just want to tell the truth and nothing more. That's not what he's saying. He's not limiting himself, saying, I need your prayers so that I can tell the truth. Now, the Apostle Paul wanted the prayers of God's people so that he could go preaching the truth. But Paul wasn't saying, I need you to pray for me because I'm always telling the truth and not a lie. Now, certainly we need the help of God to be honest and to be just in the sense of telling the truth and not lie. The Bible is very clear that God is lying. God is not a liar. Right, God is a God of truth, just and right, is He. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he says to the Hebrews here, pray for us, he's not saying, yes, so that I can tell the truth. That's included. He says, but pray for me that I can live an honorable life. Pray for me that I can be an individual that seeks to be humble, that seeks His own mercy, that's looking for righteousness, an individual that's doing all those things that Solomon had commanded his son. Paul says, here I am, a human being just like you are. And I need the help of God in my life. I want to be an honorable individual. I want to live a life that honors God. I want to live a life that honors the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, I need the help of God. And so I want believers to pray for me so that as I go through this world, I would live an honorable life before God and God's people. How often do you pray for that for yourself and for the brethren here together? How often do you pray for me that God would bless me and live an honorable life, not only in my home, but here in this congregation, but also in the community here in which we live? One of the best testimonies of the truth of God for people out here in this world is for you and I to live honorable lives. If you and I will live honorably, that will impress you far more than anything else that we consider to do than to just simply be upright and honest individuals as we live here in this world. We're living in a time where dishonor is glorified, where people who are unfaithful, ungodly, that have no fear of God are glorified by their high glamorous, their celebrities in this world. They just show off how wicked they are. And yet, when we live in contrast to that, there are people of God that live in this world that crave that, that desire that, and they're blessed when they observe it. So here the Apostle Paul, he says, pray for us. For we trust in our good conscience. He says, I feel like I've done the best I could. But still pray for me. He says, because I want to in all things live honestly. So I want to be willing to do that. said, Lord, what do you think is going to happen? He said, we'll do our own business. You know, if you're not always minding everybody else's business, that your life will be a whole lot quieter and a lot more peaceful. But when you always have your mind on everybody else's business, it's awful hard to have a quiet and peaceful life in your own mind and heart at home. So here the apostle said, we're just going to be quiet in our own business, and then he says, and for work with our own hands as we commanded you. Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul puts that phrase in there. See, the church of Thessalonica had trouble. After the Apostle Paul writes this epistle, many of them had quit their jobs. They thought that Jesus was coming back any moment. And so the Apostle Paul had to write them back to the 2nd Thessalonians and rebuke them because they were walking disorderly and weren't working, in other words. They had laid off work and all they were doing were laying around. Well, Jesus is coming back any time. They need to have a job. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Until the moment we see the prize part Jesus Christ is here, we're to continue occupying doing what Jesus has commanded us to do. And one day they said, we're to labor, he said, or to work on our own hands. Even the Apostle Paul said, look at these guys, which have ministered to my necessities and they were with me. The Apostle Paul was not afraid of physical labor, and there were times in his ministry that he could not depend upon the support of the church to supply them. Thank you.
wages war against the soul. Again, that is very broad. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. He just said, you're not at home here. You're on a journey, and this world is not your home. And here, when you and I keep that in mind, it will help a whole lot in our lives. If we recognize this world is not home, there's a whole lot about this world we don't care about no more. We recognize that when Jesus comes back, everything we work for, everything we build, every honor and title that we obtain is going to be burned up in His coming, all those things really won't matter anymore. And if we recognize that there are things that will carry us, go on with us in glory, those are the things that matter. The Bible lets us know that there are honorable things in which we can live and do that are going to have great reward. And it doesn't mean that when we get to heaven, that if you live a faithful life, that Jesus will say, well, you did better than this so-and-so over here. So here you are to an elevated place. That's not the point. But the point is that there are godly things that you and I ought to do, and we ought to be living in by submitting as great reward and blessing in this age as they allow us to live forward on eternal life and enjoy that life presently here and now. Anyway, so the Apostle Peter says, dear beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. That means lusts that come from the carnal nature that we have. He says, that is what those fleshly lusts do, says they war against the soul. They war against the soul in more than one way. They war against the soul this way. Number one, the soul is going to tell you not to do it, while your carnal nature tells you to do it. And then if you do do it, your soul is going to tell you that you're wrong to do it. So your soul is going to tell you not to, and then if you do it, your soul is going to convict you for doing it. So these fleshly lusts, he says, they war against the soul. He says, we're going to have our conversation. That means our lifestyle, our way of living, honest, that means honorable among the Gentiles. And where if they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, your honorable living, which they shall glorify God, he says, in the day of visitation. These are individuals that here before Peter says were willing to persecute him. But now Peter says that if you will have your conversation and your lifestyle honorable among the Gentiles, they may speak of you as evildoers, but they're finally going to recognize and see that that's by faith they're going to observe your good works, and they'll behold them, and they're going to glorify God in the day of visitation. So what day is that? Well, it could be the last day. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It's whenever God visits something into the reality in their minds. It may not happen until the last day. Whenever it happens, it doesn't matter. It's still right for us to live a life that has a conversation, a lifestyle that's honorable among the Gentiles. That means we're behave ourselves even out here among the wicked. Just because we're among the wicked doesn't mean we're to behave like the wicked. We're to act like righteous folks because we are righteous folks in the sight of God. Hopefully they'll observe that, and they'll glorify God in the day of visitation. So again, Paul says, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? It's important to think about the truth, to meditate upon the truth, to believe the truth, to lay hold on the truth. But then he says, what sort of things are honest? Whatever is honorable, think on that as well. Don't just think on it academically. Think on it in a way to employ it. We've covered a number of verses this morning that tell us the great blessings that come from trying to live a life of honor before God, before God's people, and also before the wicked. There's great reward in being obedient to the commands of God. One of the great rewards is it helps us in the days of our anxiety. It helps to consider things that are honorable instead of things that are dishonorable. And your mind is troubled and you're struggling. You'll think about the truth, and then you'll think about the things that God's Word calls honorable, and then you'll try to live those things that are honorable. I promise you, a lot of the fears that trouble your minds will flee away. There's great blessings for